The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
This is Bull Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bull's Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
This is Donna Anselmo. Welcome to Bold Talk Business Radio today. This is the show where we talk insight, strategies, tips and tools for business success and lifestyle satisfaction and success and satisfaction in your business as well, because there's a really strong crossover between what you bring to your life and what you bring to your business. And who better to talk business with us today than the business editor of Florida Today? We have Wayne Price with us in the studio. Pete Anselmo's here as co-host today. And we're going to be talking with Wayne Price a little bit about what's happening in the news at Florida Today. So why don't we start a little bit, just tell our readers who may be new to the area a little bit about Florida Today itself.
Well, Florida Today is a 50-year-old paper. It's part of the USA Today network, which has made a big expansion of print publications all across the United States, and particularly here in Florida. And right now, it's a huge focus on digital. It's a strategy called Digital First, where we exploit the internet and offer a lot more digital products to the readers, as well as, you know, maintaining our commitment to print.
Now, has digital first and digital media sped up and changed the news cycle significantly? Is it harder to get stuff out in press than on the internet?
Is it harder? The items that go into the print paper, they got to compete. It's a valued real estate these days. So, you know, it used to be the paper is very thick, and you know, we had room for a lot of these stories. Now we have to really pick and choose what we're going to put in print. But as far as what's online, you're right. I mean, the sky's the limit, and we want to get it first and get it fast and get it completely.
So is it, now that there is this whole new world of digital media, does it put more pressure on a journalist today? Because now you used to be limited. Say you had a 200-page paper. That's a big paper. But say you had a 200-page paper.
I would think so. Because
now you've got a million pages potentially for digital media.
It's not that, but just everybody's out there, and everybody has cell phones. Everyone's on social media. Everyone's taking photos. And like I said, you know, our commitment is to be first, to be complete, and be correct. And, you know, sometimes with social media, you're chasing down a lot of rumors. And we just had the incident of the shooter in Orlando. I mean, think about all the rumors that were going around about that. And, you know, like I said, we just expanded with our papers in Florida, so we were able to provide very complete coverage, you know, based on stuff that was happening in Indian River County and based on our own reporting staff that went to Orlando, and then plus the USA Today had sent a big contingent down to cover. So we were able to be pretty complete, but God, just think who we're competing against. And
I just wanted to ask you if you have noticed the difference in journalism or journalists coming out of schools. How has their training or background, has it changed much, or is it sort of a different attitude today?
You're talking about like millennials and things like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's a tough one. I hate to take a broad brush and paint people like that. You know, there's some very, very qualified and talented individuals out there that are not only intelligent as far as, you know, being able to discern what's news and what isn't, but how to get that news out there to people. Mm. And there's so many ways now for that news to be delivered, and those people are expert at that. And then with other people I see, there's probably maybe not as a commitment to serious issues that I would like to see.
Okay.
You know, some of the issues, and I don't think, I'm a taxpayer. I like following the money. I like knowing where my money's being spent.
Exactly.
I don't necessarily see that 100% coming out of kids right out of school, that they find that boring. It's not sexy.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that's important. It's important as a taxpayer and as a citizen.
Well, you've brought up the money topic, so let's go there.
Okay.
Let's talk with Wayne Price for a moment about, based on what you're seeing as a journalist and the stories that you're covering, where's the money going now?
We're talking about the...
Let's talk about the Space Coast first.
Well, right now, big commitment to aviation aerospace. And, I don't know who came up with that strategy. That's going to be our core sector we're going to go after. I know it's been around for more than a decade, but it's really starting to pay off. You see it at Northrop Grumman, and we talked earlier about expansions with Northrop Grumman, 300 jobs. Lockheed Martin, 300 jobs. A company called Thales out of Melbourne, 375 jobs, all related to aerospace. And they all want to be here because of the engineering talent.
Embraer,
of course. So that's where a lot of the money is being fueled towards. And if you look at, where the economic development assistance is going, it's usually going to those core sectors like aerospace and aviation, which is good.
Absolutely.
I recently was looking at some opportunities to fund business positions with grants, and I looked through CareerSource Brevard, and I noticed as I was looking that the types of positions that they're looking, that they have money to fund, also include, and there's a focus on tech.
Right, and if you look at like Eastern Florida State College, they're setting up programs just to train tech workers and aviation workers.
Absolutely. We also had recently on the air with us Dave Worrells, a professor from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University Worldwide, with us. And there are so many different opportunities now, not only for aerospace engineering type positions, but logistics, production, project management.
The support people, the technical support people that they're going to be desperate for, because I guess a lot of the older people are phasing out, and because of the loss of the space shuttle, there's kind of a gap
right. That's
occurred, so that there's a real need for the support people, the technical support people, for the businesses.
So. It didn't even mention pilots. There's this, for the reason you just mentioned, there's going to be a gap in the number of pilots available to pilot some of these planes. And, hopefully Florida Tech's program will, continue to draw a lot of people to teach people how to fly. And there's a big impact here in Brevard.
What are you seeing happening? What kind of news is coming out now from Port Canaveral?
Well, they've kind of backed off. They backed off their big push towards cargo. I just don't see that they have the logistics to what it takes to get some of that stuff to market. They were talking about the rail to the port, and that just kind of it's been put on hold because of the controversy and how it might impact the lagoon. And that really limits what cargo companies can do and how they can get that these big amounts of cargo, how they can get it to the rail line. There was talk one time of using some sort of ferry system almost, where you could take stuff across the river into the railroad tracks up to this logistics center, which is Port St. John, Titusville area. But I don't see a lot of movement being made on that front. And I think it's because of concerns about the health of the lagoon.
Yeah, and the rail, that's a key part.
It's a key part. I just read that the port in Jacksonville, they just announced they got their first cargo shipment from the expanded Panama Canal. And that was supposed to be a big thing for Port Canaveral, to be able to get some of that traffic coming off the expanded Panama Canal. So we'll see if that happens.
We'll have to keep you posted on that, and we'll have to stay posted on that. I want to go back to something you were talking about earlier, about all of the media potential that's out there, all the bloggers, all the people with their cameras and their cell phones pushing information across social media. Let's talk a little bit about some of the standards that you set for selecting news and covering the news.
Well, somebody told me a long time ago, what's news? And, news is something I know that you don't know that I think you should know. I don't think that's changed at all. And our commitment and our standards still the same. It has to be, has to have some appeal. It has to be important to our readers. And we have to get trustworthy sources. We have to verify information. And that's what sometimes you don't see a lot this day. It's like report first, verify later.
Yeah.
It's a little disturbing.
It is disturbing because you just don't know what to believe. I think that's been a kind of a serious problem in the industry, because it's damaged really what were once impeccable credentials in the news industry, where if it was said on NBC or CBS or whatever, that was gospel.
Right.
You had the faith that they were backing up with accurate information. that really doesn't exist anymore.
You know, it floored today and the other papers, it certainly is still, we still have those rigorous standards of, you know, we very rarely will we use anonymous sources. We will get second and third sources to back up information that we get to verify. That hasn't changed at all with us.
Wayne Price, Business Editor of Florida Today on Bold Talk Business Radio. This is Donna Anselmo, your show host with Pete Anselmo. We are broadcasting over the airwaves of AM 1060 WMEL today. So, Wayne Price, talk to us a little bit about what does an editorial meeting look like? How is the news selected? Let's hear a little bit about what people might see if they peer through the window.
You know, on my end, and some other people, we pretty much have to be self-starters. We have to kind of gauge ourselves, and then we go pitch other editors saying, I think this is important because X, Y, and Z. But every morning, there'll be a group of people to get together, and they'll just sit around in the middle of the newsroom, and they'll talk about what stories are out there that reporters are working on, and then they'll say, well, let's push this. Now, it's a lot different. It used to be, this we'll put on the front page tomorrow. Now they'll say, let's get this online and let's push it in a certain way. And they have different tools and different mechanisms for putting those stories out to our readers and making sure it stays at the top of the page online. So it's different in that sense. And they'll meet again probably at 3 o'clock and just to see if, you know, if that lineup's changed at all, if we should switch some things around. What they do now also is they have the metrics, so they can see how well a story's performing, and if they want to switch it out and see if another one will perform better, and they'll push that. And they might use that to say, okay, let's put this on print tomorrow because it's doing so well here.
I was going to ask you that. Is there a battle between the print and the digital, or is it...
If there's a battle, that battle's over. I don't mean to say print's an afterthought by any means, but like I said, it's digital first is our focus.
Well, I think it's pretty interesting because the ability to track in the moment the number of hits.
But how long they will stay on a story. Usually people don't stay on a story much more than a minute and a half, and that I guess that's pretty long.
Right.
They can tell if somebody's staying on a story very long, they'll want to put that in print because print readers will obviously read a lot longer.
Right, and it's more expensive to put something onto the print pages, so you're going to want your business feedback that says this matters to our listeners. Many years ago when I was a journalist, and I may have told this story to you in the past when you were on with us, Wayne Price, but when I wrote my very first news story as a journalist back in, I think it was 1987, I turned in what I thought was a beautifully written, you know, grammatical piece. I would have gotten A+ from my college professor, but my editor looked at it and said, "So what? So what?" And I was like, mortified.
What do you mean, so what?
But what she really was saying, because I wrote this beautiful, like, thesis-style historical article, and really what she wanted to know is, what does it mean to the readers?
Well, that's what you got to put up high. I'm reading this because why? And you have to establish that really quickly in a story.
Yeah, and so I learned about lead writing. But what I think that's happening here is that from what I'm hearing you say about testing on the digital side first and then making the decision of whether it goes into print, it's great, number one, because you can see what's trending and what people are interested in, and you could gauge their level of interest, as you said, by how long they're staying on the page. But it's also really a tremendous asset for the bottom line of a newspaper because they don't want to print stuff that people aren't going
to key
into. And if they don't key into it, then the advertisers aren't going to be there.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but when I go to Publix or whatever, and I always stop by the newspapers and see, and they got all the papers lined up, and I still love reading the headlines on all the papers to see how they're playing stories and you know, to see how they're trying to attract readers.
Absolutely, and I happen to love the paper. I just love the, you know, sensory part of touching the paper, flipping the page. You can easily see your progress as you're, you know, going through the paper. And there's just something attractive about it. And I don't know if it's my age, but I really
it
still
probably
like
is a little bit
newspaper.
Of age. You know, I take my daughter out to lunch every so often, and she'll be on her cell phone reading or talking or communicating, but I'll have a newspaper, and that's how we do our lunch. And
yeah, you know, exactly.
If that's not the generation gap, I don't know what is.
Well, it definitely is. I'm old school myself. I worked at the New York Post for years, And
what a New York Post. I love their headlines. They're
absolutely.
The best.
Absolutely. They are, yeah, first-rate headlines, no question about it. But it was interesting because we had the press schedule, which really determined the news cycle.
Right.
That was driving the news cycle. We had our Metro edition, which went off, had to go off by 10 o'clock. So everything had to be in by that point. And then we had a 12 o'clock sports edition, and then we had the late city final go off around 2. So that's what drove the news cycle. Now, that's got to be very different today.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously breaking news is very big in our business, and we got some of the best police reporters that will just, they know everything about the scanner. They know what to chase down. And if you look at our metrics, they drive the biggest numbers. Whether it's a car crash, some sort of, shooting or whatever, those are what drives the big metrics. And then, you know, for us that don't necessarily do breaking news, it's a lot more pressure on us to, you know, come up with stories and ways to present them and ways to write them where it still attracts a lot of readership.
Right. To make it interesting, even though people know what happened, there's more to it. There's a little bit more depth to be offered.
Let's talk a little bit, Wayne Price, about your own philosophy in terms of choosing a story. There's got to be a lot of instinct in that, but there's also understanding your community. Talk to me a little bit about what goes into your decision. You've got limited real estate in the news and the print side. You've got a little more wiggle room or a lot more wiggle room on the digital side, but you still have to know what people are going to be interested in. How do you decide
that?
Well,
I'm a small business freak just because I think my father was a small businessman and his family were small business operators. That's always special to me. And I like focusing on those kind of stories of people that go out there and try something, either make a success, and more often than not, they don't, but at least they try, and then they'll get up and try again. So I like those kind of stories. But then I'm also aware of how important the Harris Corporation is to us, how important Northrop Grumman is to us. So if they twitch, I twitch,
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like you look at a small business. I'm going to bring up Space Shirts, which happens to be a client of mine, a very good friend, Brenda and Jerry Mulberry. But their business was a small business, is a small business. They're doing very well. But they were significantly impacted by what happened in the economy when the shuttle program was ended. And now they had to figure out a way to come back from that. And they're still here, and they've done that. And I think that's phenomenal for the fortitude that a small business owner has to have, because it'd be so easy to just give up. So what is it that keeps people from giving up in business is really what we talk about most often on this show, on Bold Talk Business Radio.
What's really cool I'm finding, too, about the Space Coast is that there's really a growing sense of entrepreneurship here. And I spoke with some guys who used to work for Raytheon, and they were computer security guys. They're all under 30. And they decided to go open their own business in downtown Melbourne, still focusing on computer security, just doing their own thing. And I talked with one of the founders of it. He said, yeah. He goes, I love going out to California and Silicon Valley. He goes, the weather's just perfect. There's just a great sense of camaraderie and ingenuity out there. But then you weigh that against the price of housing, you weigh that against our education system, you weigh that against the traffic, you weigh that against our beaches here. And he goes, all in all, I'd much rather be here. And I see more and more people like that that are just, you know, shunning like the big places like that and staying in Brevard County, which I think it's good.
Well, it's certainly good for Brevard County to maintain that type of talent. We had a lot of talent on Long Island when I was there as well. Faced a huge issue that the media used to talk about a lot, which was the exporting of that talent. They would leave because the cost of living was so high.
Yeah, when I was in upstate New York, they called that the brain drain.
The brain drain,
yeah,
exactly.
Right. Exactly.
But here it seems to be the reverse in
They end up, there's some of that. There's still, I think, there's too many talented people that leave, and sometimes they come back. But just think about like Florida Tech and UCF, all that talent. You know, we got to find ways and opportunities to keep those individuals here in Central Florida.
Well, I think as the area develops and gets more industry, more interests, more attractions. It happens. It just sort of occurs. I think one of the great pieces of legislation that occurred was the Space Florida creating that to bring some structure to bringing people in the aerospace industry into this area. But there will be other areas, other businesses that will be created from that, that will create the attraction. And I see it happening. I think it's it is we're not from this area originally, but since we've been here, we've seen a major change in industry coming here, people wanting to be here.
Right.
Wayne Price, we have under 3 minutes left. You're the business editor at Florida Today. Tell us a little bit about how somebody who thinks they have a good news story can get it into Florida Today.
Well, I always tell people just call me. That sounds old-fashioned these days, but I mean, just pick up the phone. My phone number is 321-242-3568, or you can email me at wprice@floridatoday.com. And, you know, make your case for the story. It happens almost every day. And I'm usually truthful with people. Yeah, sure, we can get something in, or, you know, maybe not now, maybe, you know, maybe in a little bit. Let's see how it pans out. I love talking to people on the phone. I love, you know, especially entrepreneurs. So,
well, it's important for entrepreneurs to understand and to listen to the fact that Wayne Price just told you he loves small business. He has a passion for small business owners, what goes into small business. So think about if you're a small business owner and you're a best kept secret, people don't know what you're doing out there, and you want to raise your profile, think about how you're adding value. Think about why what your product delivers or your service delivers to people in the community and people in your target market makes a difference for them. And if you can show Wayne how and why you're adding value through your business, that's how you're going to get into the news.
And Donna, I've noticed there's like a lot of seminars going on at CareerSource Brevard or WeVenture, and they're really pushing this idea of now being able to tell a story. Use storytelling to make your pitch. And it kind of reminds me of a couple that they build a high-end furniture that hides cat boxes for people that don't want to mess their litter box. And I thought,
that's great.
You know, but the story behind that was just fantastic. It was a couple from Pennsylvania, and they came in, and they wanted to do some work with mold remediation, and they just didn't find that business was going to pan out. But they used some of that same technology with this cat furniture, and the business just taken off. But we did a story on it and talked about all that stuff, and now the business is just incredible. They're making these things for rich people in Manhattan, you know.
That's very interesting. I have another company, Salon Comfort, who has been manufacturing neck rests for people who go to salons. So find a problem that you know how to solve, and then let us know about it. You can tell us at Bold Talk Business Radio. Go to boldtalkbusinessradio.com. Reach out to Wayne Price at Florida Today. Thank you so much for listening to us today at Bold Talk Business Radio. We'll be here next week. We're going to be talking about some of the things that go on in people's minds about their business with clinical psychologist Dr. Diane Kramer in our next edition next Tuesday on Bold Talk Business Radio. Come back and visit with us again. We look forward to it.